World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
You pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm glad that's all over with. I don't know about you, I'm glad it's all over with. I'm talking about this. The whole Christmas thing, although it's a lot of fun. My poor wife worked her fingers to the bones getting ready to do meals and take meals on the road. And just, what a busy, busy weekend. I was, you know, we didn't do the show yesterday. It's the first weekday we have missed since January 25th, I think, 2016. Unbelievable. I got to tell you, I've had a knockdown cold. I don't know if I could have done it yesterday. I still have the remnants of it. Got a lozenge in my mouth. It's just been a cold, man. And so if I go into one of those sneezing fits, I got a Kleenex if I need it. And thank God I sat. Well, yesterday was better. We went. Ray LeBlanc's here with me. Ray came and spent some time with us this holiday season. I caught wind that he was going to be spending it alone in the campground. I said, "Hey, come and join us." So he drove up from parts down south, wherever that would be, and he's been around. He's over here. I told him I wouldn't embarrass him by bringing him into the stadium here, but he's with us. And had a great weekend, great time together. But as I said, I'm glad it's behind us. Glad it's behind us. A lot of things that are going on, a lot of crazy things. I got some scriptures I want to share with you. I got some good stuff. But I want to open up just real quickly here, and just kind of get a chance to lay it out on the table. I got to ask Big Rich. I found out from Ray that Big Rich is on his way down to Texas again, sneaking down there. What are you going to do down in Texas, Richard? Oklahoma City this morning. What's going on, bud?
Just going to go down and hang out with Chad and Josh for a week. Maybe help Chad get some projects done. And then the wife and I is going to Mission, Texas for the winter.
All right. So your place isn't done up there, Rich. You're leaving that half done? Because Ray was saying to me, we got to get out there and help you. So let's get something scheduled here in the spring where we can get out and give you a hand getting that thing finished. Where is Mission, Texas?
It's about, I think it's about 40 miles west of South Padre Island.
That's quite a ways down there. Well, stay warm. Stay warm, man.
That's the plan.
Stay outside of Chad and Josh, whoever else is down there. Anybody, anything you want to throw on the table before I throw a piece of red meat out there and get going here? Anybody at all? Give you a chance. Speak now or forever hold your peace, as they say it in the the wedding ceremony. Anybody? Well, you don't have to forever hold your peace. We'll let you jump back in. I'll tell you what's on my heart this morning. There's a little bit of delay. That's why I'm hesitating in case somebody's trying to get in. Sometimes there's a delay. Here's what's on my heart this morning. I was talking to Ray last night before I went to bed. He says, "You know what you're going to talk about yesterday?" I said, "No, I don't. No, I get it. I get it in the morning." And I got it loud and clear this morning, buddy, when I got up. And I don't know about you guys. It's bah humbug, I guess. The older I get, the less I like the glorification of Christmas. Now we have four grandkids. We brought our grandkids over here. I'm sorry, it's a sin. We do the Christmas thing. We don't do the Santa Claus thing. We don't do that kind of stuff. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. We make sure that our children understand what it's all about. Our grandchildren understand what it's all about. We don't lie to them and tell them it's a Santa Claus. And we don't do any of that stuff, but I just, you know, I watch what's going on around me. I saw that some guy somewhere made everybody mad because he put up a crucified. I don't know if you guys saw this. He put up in his yard a crucified Santa Claus. In other words, he had Santa Claus dressed in Santa Claus and put him up on a cross and making a really, really good, really, really valid point about where we are. And I began to think about it this morning, actually, when I got up, all the stuff I was watching, and, you know, I was unable to go to my wife went to Christmas Eve service out of our friend Pastor Tom Gill's place. I wasn't able. I was under the weather. And people, all these people going to church all of a sudden. And I wrote the other day about Christmas lights at the Lion's Den, the porn shop, and the porn shop and the church both celebrating Christmas. And there's something seriously wrong with that picture. And it's because we have so commercialized Christmas that the whole message of Christ is really, really lost within it. But I got thinking more and more about it this morning as I got up, you know, the real battle that we're facing. And Mark Trump, I thought of you this morning. And I thought of the pharmaceutical companies. And I just thought of a lot of things that were running through my head. To understand more than ever that we're in a generational battle for truth. We're in a generational battle for truth. And if the truth be told, pardon the pun, most people don't really care about the truth. They really don't care. In fact, if you are a truth seeker, a truth speaker, you will find that the more you zero in on the truth, the more you're going to irritate people. And I've noticed it a lot during this Christmas season, you know, I had all of our family over here. We have a big family, my brothers, and everybody was over. I don't know if you guys can appreciate this, but I tended to feel at our family gathering a little bit of a distance, a little bit of a fear that maybe Uncle Dave was going to crack open this Jesus. You know, they're all there. They're having a great time celebrating Christmas and loving on each other and doing all that stuff. But there's always lurking out there this possibility that this crazy guy with the cross hat on is going to open up his mouth and say something that maybe, you know, is going to kind of ruin the party. And then I watched a video on the pharmaceutical companies. I watched it when I was laying in my chair half dead on how the pharmaceutical, we all know this, right? But how the pharmaceutical companies have, really, they're just drugging us to death and just killing us in so many different ways and required vaccinations and all that stuff. And saw the argument that went on that during the tax, whatever you call that thing, when they were trying to change the tax code, all the lies on both sides. These people are going to suffer. No, these people are going to suffer. These people are going to get rich. No, these people are going to get rich. And all that liar, pants on fire, and people embracing lies, and people becoming comfortable with lies, people telling lies, and people not worrying about lies, and just lie, and to the point where people said, I don't care. It don't matter. And that's where we are. The truth doesn't matter anymore. This doesn't even matter. So I was thinking about how do we take Christmas Eve and Christmas Day? I don't care who you are, where you look, what you seek out, what you search out, you will find that Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ, is the only reason for Christmas. He's it. Oh, we can go to the pagan roots. You can do, that's not what I'm talking about. In American Christianity, at the root of American Christianity is Christ, the incarnation of the truth. The living word became flesh and dwelt amongst them. That is the incarnation of the truth. As we look across the American culture and the American society, inside the church, outside the church, I don't care where you look, how has truth become so radioactive? Pardon me, I got a throat lozenge in my mouth. Truth is radioactive. And as we dive into this here this morning, Jared, I pulled up a couple of scriptures. Joe, get your voice ready there, Joe, because I want to read down through a couple of scriptures here. So I said, I'm glad Christmas is over. I'm glad it's over. I'm greatly conflicted. My grandbabies went to, I think my daughter said, like, they had four Christmases they had to go to, four different places they went and got presents. Now, you just stand up and say, bah, humbug, don't do that. I mean, is that really what we're supposed to do? Or do you take this Christmas season, which should be a very joyous season, joy to the world? I'm not that bah, humbugish. But should we eliminate this Christmas season and not celebrate this Christmas season and miss this unbelievable opportunity to explain to people what Christmas is all about? It's a great opportunity for the gospel to go forth. This is what this meant, this little babe lying in the manger in the incarnation. And this is what the whole thing's about. And he saved you from your sin and you're a sinner. Gospel's right there. But we don't take it. We don't run with it. They don't want to hear it. We look across America and it's just become so commercialized. And not the only thing, though. Not the only thing. Let's go, Jared. Let's go to John 18.
Hey, Coach, on the way to John 18, you know, a lot of people would disagree and say that, oh, Christmas season for them is all about spreading the gospel and talking. Everything was. But yesterday, Christmas dinner at my son-in-law's house, and he asked me to say a few words, and I said, well, I said, I just want to say something that I just realized this week from the teaching of Coach Dave on the thing I do every morning. I says, I just realized that the churches have made Christmas the center point of everything they believe about Jesus.
Amen. I mean,
the calmness and the peace and everything that you mentioned on Tuesday. And when you brought that up, a light bulb went on. And I says, there's nothing wrong with about using the scriptures from Luke because they're there. They're true. But if you concentrate only on what Luke says and you never go beyond that, then you miss the true gospel message is, you know, that there is something, a judgment to be avoided. There is a judgment to be place yourself in a position where you don't receive that judgment. And that judgment has nothing to do with peace and calm and tranquility and beauty.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't, Larry.
And if you never go to that second level, I don't care how enticing you make Christmas. If you never go to the second level, you just lied to those people when you told them about the enticing part of Christmas.
Because, Larry, there is no peace on earth. There is no peace on earth. There is no silent night, holy night. There is none. And it's part of the lie and the facade that we live our lives under. And this is not meant today to beat up on Christmas. Please. Don't take it for what it's not. I'm trying to explain to us today how we are so readily taken in by things that just are not the truth and how it doesn't bother us anymore. And how you can go to your church on Christmas Eve. You can go to your church on Christmas Day, five services a day. You can go whenever you want to. And the same message is going to emanate, going to come out of those churches. The same message is, for most part, going to come out of those churches, joy to the world, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, that's the message of the birth of Jesus, and that's just not what the message was. It says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest. Hang on a minute. How was the Son of Man manifest? And when was the Son of Man manifest? When was that? Let's go there real quick, Jared. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. And wasn't the Son of God manifest at the incarnation? Wasn't he manifest at, wasn't he, Ray? In that manger? It was manifest in that manger. For this purpose was all silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. Why did he do that? 1 John 3. Pull that up there, Jared. Do you have it? Have it up there? Come on, take you on a little bit of a journey today. Because I think it's important. I think it's important. Are you there, Joe? Jared,
sure.
Start at one. Just start at one, Jared. 1 John 3:1. Just take us down through this. Think about the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. The message See, it has been a great deception by the evil one. Remember, Satan comes as an angel of light. And he has sold to us this peaceful, calm, silent night, holy night. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. He sold to us this passive baby wrapped in swaddling clothes Savior. He sold us on that. The whole world celebrated Christmas. The porn shop celebrated Christmas. Only the atheists, they're the ones, at least they're honest about it. They're out there honest about it. First John, you want to know why Jesus came? You want to know what the incarnation is all about? Give it to us, Joe. First John 3.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
I could preach right there. Is that something right there? Do you see immediately the two classifications of people? Right there it is. Why? We're the sons of God, and therefore the world didn't know him. Why? Because they're not sons of God. There's two groups of people. Go on.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Wow, keep going.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
So if you have this hope inside of you, you are cleaning up your life, baby. And if your life is not getting cleaned up, you don't have him in here, because the Bible says that every man that has this hope purifies himself. There is a cleansing process. It's not just a babe wrapped in the swaddling clothes, and it's not light at the lion's den. If the lion's den has the light of the world, see, the light came into the world and the darkness perceived it not. The lion's den is celebrating Christmas because there's no purification process that's going on in the message of the church anymore. Keep going, Joe.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin.
It's a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger.
Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not.
Wow.
Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him.
Wow.
Little children, let no man deceive you.
Boy, we have been deceived, right? Hey, listen. Listen. Hey, folks. He ain't talking to little children. John isn't writing this to little children. He's writing it to adults. And he says, come on, man. Grow up here, will you, little children? He's tongue-in-cheek. He's poking fun at them. Go ahead.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous.
Two groups of people.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested.
Was born in a manger. For this purpose the Son of God was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes on a silent night, holy night.
That he might destroy the works of the devil.
You're gone.
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin.
Then go to the porn shop.
For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest.
You see them. You see them.
And the children of the devil.
There they are, the two groups. You see the children of the light, and you see the children of the dark. How do you see it? Because those who are born of the Lord don't sin.
Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
Okay, there you go. You can stop right there. So there it is. There again is the purpose why Jesus came, and the two different groups of people that we're facing here in America. Let me pause, because I know somebody saw something there I didn't see.
Well, that last verse that he read about, this is the message that you heard from the beginning. That appears about a dozen times in the New Testament. And every single time it appears, without exception, it clearly, by the context of the scripture, it clearly zeroes in on those who are the true church, belong to God the Father through, you know, through adoption, through the Son of Jesus. It's not the whole world. It's not everybody. You're commanded to love one another.
Mm-hmm. So a Big Rich, you can become a party pooper when you go to parties, Christmas parties, and you begin to point this stuff out. See, truth is fallen in the streets. And why is truth fallen in the streets? Truth has fallen in the streets because we've not defended it. The Apostle Paul told us to keep the faith. That doesn't mean hang in there, brother. Keep the faith, brother. No, means to protect it, nourish it, and guard it, and guide it, and protect it, keep it. And we have not kept the faith. And we've allowed the birth, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ to become nothing more than Santa Claus being crucified on a cross, which makes people mad, because that is exactly what Christmas has become. Okay? Now, why? Why? Who wants to go to a family party? Who wants to go to church? Who wants to go wherever Christmas is being celebrated and be bah humbug? Who wants to be Ebenezer Scrooge? Who wants to be that? But at what point do we come in conflict with Christmas season and Ebenezer Scrooge? At what point do those two blend? And I would say in the heart of most Christians, in the places where you went most times this weekend, the Jesus loves everybody, babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, triumphed over Ebenezer Scrooge.
Hey, Coach.
Ebenezer Scrooge being on the parade and bringing truth. That's the way I envision Ebenezer Scrooge. Yeah, Jerry.
I've been fighting not to tell this story, but Holy Spirit's been convicting me in the last few minutes. 2008, the Holy Spirit had me denounce Christmas in front of my whole family. It was the hardest thing I ever did. And so nobody had Christmas at our house that year, and we haven't decorated or done a tree ever since. And for confirmation in that year, my wife's grandmother, a week after Christmas, came to me crying, thanking me, because she said the lies that she had that dealt with Christmas stopped her from releasing so much old stuff in her that she couldn't deal with it. So when I did what I did from the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it helped her get closer to Jesus, and she asked me to pray with her, and it was the most beautiful thing I've ever
experienced. Wow, wow, wow. See, it's what I'm saying, Jerry. The opportunity to really speak the truth during the Christmas season is there. But to speak the truth during the Christmas season is bah humbug. It's bah humbug. Nobody wants you to be around. I don't even want to go to these celebrations where this falsehood is continuing to be perpetuated. I don't even want to be part of it, other than I love my family and I love being around my family. And see, I don't want to. Are you ready, Rich? I don't want to make Jesus look bad, right, by being the bah humbug guy. But at what point, hey, can you guys tell me, at what point does truth not look like bah humbug? If you go to a group of homosexuals and you bring the truth, does that look like bah humbug? Yeah. You go to the abortion clinic and you bring the truth about abortion. Does that look like bah humbug? Yes. Yes. But, and so they say, well, why do you always end up back? They say, because I'm after the truth. Man, I'm filled with the truth. And this stuff grieves me that I watch these lies continue to go on. Go to John 18. Jump in here if you want to. I got about three verses I want to run down because I think it's critical for us. Okay, guys? Critical. Anybody want to jump in?
Well, when truth is delivered properly from the pulpit, brother, I actually tied Matthew chapter 1 and 2 with Luke chapter 2. And I did end my message with a challenge, because peace on earth and goodwill towards men, to whom he is well pleased with, brings forth a self-evaluation. Is God pleased with you? And truth is not something what you conjure up. Truth is not your emotion. Truth is not what you assume. Truth is a person of Christ. And brother, we had an altar call, and I had families at the altar, because I told them, I said, you think you're going through tough times? Jesus's life was at threat from the onset. And brother, that was truly the Christmas message.
Amen, brother. It was. He came to die. See, he came to bring peace on earth. It is a good tidings, a great joy for unto us have been born, for unto you is born in Bethlehem. I used to have a memory. It doesn't matter. It was good tidings, a great joy. It was. He was going to deliver his people from their sins. Yes, and it was all great news. But fellas, it was a cataclysmic clash. It was a battle beyond battles from the moment he was born. And we haven't sold Christianity like that. That's the Christianity that you're seeing in China. That's the Christianity you're seeing in Iran and Iraq and underground. That's what you're seeing. Go, Dale.
Also, on top of that, the reason why the church loves that nativity scene is because people have power over babies. So if we can keep Jesus, like pull the sheet over our head and say nobody's there, if we can keep him like a baby, then we have this godly power over him. Little did they know in Revelation chapter 19, he's coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
That's right, brother. It's like I tell everybody, everybody wants to follow Jesus till they find out where he's gone. I got that one from Flip Benham. Everybody wants to follow him till they find out he's gone to a cross. That's where he's gone. And is that the message of Christmas? And the answer to that is no. And why is it not the message of Christmas? Because it offends. It offends. It is bah humbug. It's not edifying. It's not pleasing. It doesn't make us emotionally feel good. That's the message that needs to be delivered. And it's not the message that we're delivering because the church has lost its savor. The one place that you ought to be hearing the truth is in the church. And the people in the church don't even care. Go to John 18, verse 44, I think it is. I don't know. I had it all up here. No, let's see. Where did I have you, Jared? John 18. Yeah, let's go right there. Go down to the bottom. I was going to read the whole thing, but we don't have time. Right there. So there it is. Jesus is standing before Pilate. And go up one more, verse 32. Start with 32, I think. Okay, that's the same. Then Pilate, 33, entered into the judgment hall. Jesus has just been delivered up. And Pilate entered into the judgment hall, and amazing, the judgment hall, and called Jesus unto him and said, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered and said, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? He said, did you just hear that from somebody else, Pilate? Huh? And you just come up with this on your own? Pilate answered, listen, dude, am I a Jew? In other words, why these guys ain't telling me nothing? What do you mean? He says, your own nation and the chief priests, they're the ones that brought you here. Why are you giving me some bad talk, Pilate says to him. What have you done? Jesus said, well, okay, bud. My kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate said to them, are you king then, bud? Are you a king? And Jesus answered, that's what you say, dude. I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that hears my voice, everyone that is of the truth, they hear my voice. Are you hearing his voice today? If it is, then it's a good sign. If you're hearing the truth, you're hearing his voice. That's a good sign. Because look what Pilate says. Oh, yeah, dude? What's the truth? So Pilate asks the question. And Jesus doesn't even answer it. And Pilate walks away without finding out the truth, knowing that it's the truth that sets us free. So you find yourself in the midst of a bunch of people celebrating Christmas, yada, yada, yada. And you don't stand up and you don't answer the truth. And it says, without going down through all these, because I've got someplace I'm heading. Am I bah humbugging it this morning? That's not my intention, fellas. We are contending for the life of people, the souls of men we are contending for. And we're never going to hook them, rescue them with a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. If we don't get beyond that. Oh, we all love cute little babies at Christmas. Don't we? Ray said helpless and harmless. John 8:33. Let's go there real quick. John 8:33. You ready? Hang in there with me. I got somewhere I'm going. What's the truth, boys? John 8:33. Go ahead, John. We'll let you read this. I want you to read 8:33 through 44. John 8:33 through 44. Go, Joe.
They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed."
Hey, I'm sorry, Joe. Go start at 31.
Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed."
Well, and, if you continue in his word, then hey, boys, New Testament ain't written yet. Go ahead.
"And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?
Hey, Jesus, dude, what are you saying to this, man? We're born into religion. We were born into religion. What do you mean we were in bondage? What's up, man? What are you talking about? And then Jesus says what?
"Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin."
Same message we just read in John 18.
"And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are of Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you."
Lord, could I preach on all this? Woo!
"I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father."
Two different daddies!
They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father."
They caught it. They were mad at him.
Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham."
Don't miss this. Jesus says, all right, yeah. "You seek to kill me because I told you the truth. You guys are talking about Abraham being your daddy, and you're acting around. You're going around, you're celebrating Christmas. And I come in and I try to tell you the truth. You want to kill me," he says. Go ahead.
You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him.
Wait a minute. Ray, hey. That's all of us, guys. We all do the deeds of our father. There's just two different daddies at work here. Start that again, Joe.
"You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God."
They're saying that at the porn shop today, too. Saying that everybody's got Christmas lights up. Go ahead.
Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I have proceeded forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word."
Wow.
"Ye are of your father the devil. Lust of your father ye will do."
He messed up the Christmas party.
"He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not."
You can stop right there, Joe.
Then,
because I tell you the truth, you believe me. Yeah, I tell you the truth, and you get mad at me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
"Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God."
And then look what they said, Joe. One more sentence.
Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Shall we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?"
He says, "You're the ones got the devil. You're the ones that got the devil." Hey, Jared, go to John 1. John 1. Then I'm going to go someplace. I'll show you something here. John 1. Boys, there it is. Right there it is. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." the word. And when we're living in a culture and a society, when the local porn shop thinks it's okay to put up Christmas lights and the local church has nothing to say in response to that. Oh, well. Oh, well. Oh, well, America. Oh, well, church. That's where we are. Maybe we ought to name it. Rename it the Oh, Well Church. Oh, well. Oh, well. When the whole idea of our existence is to earnestly contending for the faith, to be earnestly. Am I sounding bah humbug? So this got me going this morning today. I was talking to Ray, who's over here. You guys have these things called Siri? Got this on your phone? I was doing a little bit of Siri searching this morning. Let's just see if maybe. Hey, Siri, who's Jesus?
Here's some information.
Oh, gave it to me this time. It didn't give it to me earlier. I began to ask Siri questions, and Siri said, I'm not capable of answering that. Religious questions, Siri won't tell you. Why? Because they don't want the truth. They don't want you to have it either. I got a clip I want to show you. I got this from where am I here, Jared? Get this all caught up here. Sorry, hanging in there. I got this from David Davis this morning. He sent this to me. David's in the queue with us. Jared, pull this first little thing up here. Come on, computer. Come on here. I haven't shut off too long. Jared, pull this first little clip up. It says, begins at two, down to bottom, Jared, last one. Begins at the 2 minute and 30 mark and goes to 4 minute and the 30 mark. Fellas, our battle is and will continue to be now that Christmas season is over. Our battle is and will continue to be over truth. Because I'm telling you right now, there is a censoring of the truth beyond that which we have never seen. I was watching, if you guys didn't see on Hagman, what night was it, Ray? Thursday night, Friday night, they had that guy on. The second hour, the last 2 hours of the Hagman, they had a guy on whose my brain just went dead. Snodgrass, who spent 2 hours, he was a deep state guy, spending 2 hours talking about Oklahoma City and Timothy McVeigh and Waco and all the connections. And if you want your toes to curl, you go listen to that and understand that what's going on in America is and is continuing to be a battle for truth. And those who are in positions of authority, whether they be in the church, whether they be in academia, whether they be in Hollywood, whether they be in the political realm, wherever it is, the attack is on truth. It's on truth. Fake news. And what's happening before us right now is it's being exposed. Because the Bible tells us that there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And if you remember a couple, 3 weeks ago, we had on the fireman, Mark Taylor. What did he tell us? It's the institutions that are under judgment. The institutions under judgment. Now, this is only about a 2 minute segment. But I want you to think about this, okay? In the battle that we are fighting, the battle that you right now are personally fighting with church friends, family members, whoever, you are in a, you know that I'm telling you the truth. The more your eyes get open, the greater the battle is occurring right around you with the most simple of things that the people that you love have rejected as truth. It's going on around all of us. And the reason it's going on around all of us, because the central idea of the birth of Jesus Christ is a revelation of the truth to the people. And the wicked one wants to prevent the people from seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, feeling the truth. That's the battle. That's the battle that lies before us. I want you to watch this 2 minute segment real quick. Excuse me. I need a cough button.
Meanwhile, another conservative group rejected from a college campus, this time at Santa Clara University in Northern California. The reason? Well, take a listen.
Right now, there are a lot of people in this audience, a lot of people that are contacting me on my phone right now that just don't feel safe with this
club. Let's give Jared a chance to reset this. This is a meeting at a university in California, I believe it is, that is trying to throw off of campus a conservative group, whatever that means. Okay, whatever. Now, we would hope that conservatism means truth. We would hope that's not necessarily true, right? But I want you to understand how real this battle is to keep you and me not from believing the truth, but expressing the truth. The battle's raging for that. Go ahead, Jared. See if you got her going now, bud.
Risks.
Meanwhile, another conservative group rejected from a college campus, this time at Santa Clara University in Northern California. The reason? Well, take a listen.
Right now, there are a lot of people in this audience, a lot of people that are contacting me on my phone right now that just don't feel safe with this club being here.
The amount of students that would feel unsafe.
They are a direct threat to me.
It's not infringing on your free speech. It's just saying you don't want this organization on campus.
They don't want that organization on campus.
We stand for free markets and the Constitution. I'm still trying to figure out how that makes college students feel unsafe, but they found some backwards reverse engineering way to see that we standing for freedom somehow makes them feel unsafe. And because of that, they've barred our organization from existing and our students' right to assemble.
Kirk claimed that universities are no longer places where we can respectfully disagree, but have become islands of totalitarianism. Keep going, Jared.
And look, a university is supposed to be a place where disagreement, the free flow of ideas happen,
right,
where people can say, I respect your opinion, but I respectfully disagree. Universities are no longer those places. They are really islands of totalitarianism, where if you disagree with the faculty, the professors, the administration, or the left-wing students on campus, you can't respectfully disagree. You will be silenced, you will be suppressed, and you will be called a racist.
Tonight, the city of Buffalo is taking action now in the case of a mother who was arrested for trying to homeschool her own children.
This is utterly, utterly unacceptable.
She filed the proper paperwork to homeschool her two children, but less than a month later, she says she was arrested for educational neglect. Harris says she hasn't seen her children in 3 weeks.
But it wasn't just the students. There were members
right.
of the staff from that university who came out and talked against you.
You know, the left hates the idea that there are other ideas, and they're trying to really silence anybody
sure.
on campus that might disagree with their leftist worldview. This is a very dangerous precedent to be set.
And knowledge will
okay,
increase.
Okay, stop there, Jim. Hey, folks, you want to start a fight? Well, let's identify who the left is. Let's stop calling them the left. Excuse me. Let's stop calling ourselves the right. Who are we talking about here? We've read it in three different scriptures as we've gone through this. We find those who are of their father, the devil, and those who are of their father, Christ. There are two different families. And as a result of this battle for two different families and the lying that has been going on in the church, we have ceded control of all of our institutions, not to the left, but to the godless left. It's the godless left. I don't mind somebody being liberal. I don't mind that. But godless. They have seized every bit of what was it the Pharisees and the Sadducees say? Oh, I can't remember. They didn't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's the only way they can have victory over truth. I'm going to pause there. Somebody jump in. Do you see it in churches? Do we see? Is there free flow of debate and issues in your churches?
There's no flow of it. There's no flow of debate in churches.
None. No free flow of it. What would happen to you if you walked into your local church and you stood up in the middle of your local church and you asked the pastor, "Pastor, should we be celebrating Christmas and Easter?" What would happen to you? They drag you to Pilate. They would do the exact same thing and drag you to Pilate simply for asking the questions. And we watch it. Everything that's going on in our society and the culture, drug abuse and 5G and all this stuff. And they lied to us. They lied to us and lied to us. And they get away with it because why? Church says, oh, well. How does that affect me? Oh, well. when the whole purpose of the church is to be earnestly contending for the faith. Somebody, I hear somebody jump in. No? Jared, sit back here, guys. Sit back. What is truth? What is the truth, and does the truth matter? Jared, pull that next one up there. The Jared A, the Jason A one, started at the 4:30 mark. You need to watch this. You need to watch the whole thing. I'm not going to play this whole thing for you. But I want you to think about everywhere we are, everywhere you go, you are surrounded by things that are not true. And what did Jesus tell us? You shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall make you free. And we're told in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, or was with God, and the Word was God. And we were told, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And I would say to you that those of us who carry the name of Christ, who are deeply his children, then we are going to have to begin to proclaim the truth regardless of the consequence. Otherwise, we are going to be swamped with the gatekeepers who will not even allow the truth to be spoken. Somebody tell me today why you can't, in high school or college in particular, why you can't teach the theory of creation along with the theory of evolution. The people are going to become the leaders of the world. We're not going to teach them both of those theories. Laugh if you want to about creationism, but teach it. We don't. Why? Because people are trying to destroy the truth. Sit back here for a few minutes and watch this. Jason A. Title of it is A Real Warning for America, but it's on truth. Go ahead, Jared.
I have a very dear friend who sadly was charged with something that till this day he swears he never ever did. In fact, the charges were so ludicrous that he hired a sort of a low-paying attorney to defend him because the very accuser was so psychologically unstable.
That's what makes this so exciting and potentially so far-reaching.
He was sure he'd be walking out of that courtroom at the end of the trial. Instead, he was handcuffed and had only time enough to look at his wife and say, I love you. And he was given a 35-year sentence. A few weeks later, I went to visit him in prison. And my whole body was sort of quivering when they put me in alone into a long corridor. One door shut behind me, another door shut behind me, huge iron doors slamming behind you. You're all alone in this corridor till you go up a set of stairs, and then there's a revolving gate, and there's a rather muscular-looking security person standing, asking you for your name, that you'd been cleared. And I went in, sat across the glass. Within a few weeks, he wasn't even a shadow of himself. And all he could look at me and say, I swear to you, I never did what they're charging me with. I cannot believe they've put me here for 35 years. He's desperately trying to get an appeal only so that the truth can be presented at the trial. Now, you may come and say, as rightly you may say, you know, how do you know he's telling the truth? But you'll just reinforce the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that the truth matters.
Yes!
The truth matters. If only in one life, at the age of 70, you're put away for 35 years, you've saved all your money for your life with your wife to travel through the world in your retirement years, and all your money is now going and try to prove that you're innocent of all of this, it tells you, if one issue in life tells you and me truth matters, how much more important it is that the truth matters for life itself. Great degree of fear and uncertainty. The whole world lives like that. I turned 71 this year, and I've been an itinerant for over 40 years. I have never ever seen the world in such uncertain times. If you go to almost any major country, whether it's the Philippines or whether it's India or here and other, and even France, and almost everyone will tell you they never expected for the current political situation to be a reality for them. They never expected the kind of leadership they presently have. And everywhere I go, they ask the question, what hope do you have to give us?
I always try to speak the truth in love. I really do. But this is really a burden on my heart because it's called this whole thing has caused way too much division and bitterness and anger and rancor. That's why they can't even work together and watch, and they can't work together for anything.
All the evidence, scientific, existential, philosophical, theological, 9 years. And the reason isn't because the answers were hard to find. The reason is because the answers were hard to embrace. It's a consequence to belief. I think we often forget this. I think in our hyper-rationalistic worldview, sometimes when we think about there are clear arguments, there's beauty in the words and all these things, that people come to these things with a blank slate.
Your worldview is the set of lenses through which you look at reality. Whether you think about it or not, you're always looking through those lenses. But here's the connection. One of my great heroes was a man by the name of Malcolm Muggeridge, probably considered by many one, if not the greatest journalist of the 20th century. He made these two comments on truth that are so perceptive. Listen carefully. Truth is very beautiful, more so I consider than justice, today's pursuit, which easily puts on a false face. In the nearly 7 decades I have lived through,
these things you see,
the world has overflowed with bloodshed and explosions whose dust has never had time to settle before others have erupted, all in purportedly just causes. The quest for justice continues and the weapons of hatred pile up. But truth was an early casualty. The lies of advertising, of news, of salesmanship, of politics, the lies of the priest in his pulpit, the professor at his podium, the journalist at his typewriter, the lies stuck like a fishbone in the throat of the microphone. He said this in the 70s, but then he made this remarkable statement which often we don't connect with the abstract notion of truth. Here's what he said, and how relevant it is for our very day right now. In this Sargasso sea of fantasy and fraud, how can I or anyone else hope to swim unencumbered? How can I learn to see through and not with the eye? How take off my own motley and wash away the makeup? Raise the iron curtain and put out the studio lights? Silence the sound effects and put the cameras to sleep? Can I ever watch the sunrise on Sunset Boulevard and set over Forest Lawn? Read truth of an auto cue, catch it on a screen, chase it on the wings of Muzak? Can I view it in living color with the news, hear it in living sound along the motorways? No, not in the wind that rent the mountains and broken pieces of the rocks. Again and again and again, that still small voice, if one could only catch it. And in his book, The Green Stick, A Chronicle of Wasted Years, he goes on to refer to that voice as the voice of God.
24-hour news is one of the worst inventions.
You can stop there. This is so good. I would suggest all of you go back and watch it. So I guess the theme today, the question, the thing that I've been troubled with today is what is, I'm asking for some help here. What is our responsibility to the lies that are around us? What is our responsibility to those little children that we see following behind us, our children and our grandchildren, how much love I have for my little grandchildren, to take them and to place them into a system full of lies where they're going to be taught lies, to teach them about Santa Claus and ho-ho and ding-dong, and it's lies from the very beginning of their lives to put them into lies.
Our truth is to justice.
You know,
there is no justice without truth.
That's right.
You know, there's one thing that really attracted me to this group of men that we meet here every morning was their willingness to look at the Word of God and see it for what the truth is revealed in there. And the other thing that really attracted me about this group was the action that the people in this group take. And I'm thinking that is the key. You just asked the question, what is our responsibility? Action is our responsibility, because action is the substance and evidence of faith. Without the action, there is no faith. because there's no substance and no evidence. Now, the problem with action, and I've seen it happen here also, the problem with action in almost any group that starts off to do something and to make a difference is that eventually the action gets divided into so many directions it's no longer singularly focused, and none of the goals get met instead of staying focused on one action and actually getting something done.
Amen, brother.
That's a yeah, but there's so many lies in so many different places. See, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, boys and girls, he is truth. If you deny truth, you deny him. And we're living in a culture and society where even in the church world, you are told, swallow it. Keep your mouth shut. Swallow it. And by that very nature of ignoring the truth or allowing a lie to continue to be perpetuated, you are denying the very source, the very incarnation of the truth. Oh, my goodness. It just is so deep and so... Because it's going to get worse, Dallas. It's going to get worse. I think about Mark Trump and this AI and Stephen Mennking teaching us about Bitcoin and all this stuff that's going on around us. And the truth of it isn't really in any of it that's true. I think about Siri and ask Siri a question. She's answering and it's all made up. It's all made up. It's artificial intelligence. They call it artificial for a reason. We are in the greatest fight we've ever been for over truth. And we have let it fall in the streets. Truth has fallen in the streets and it cannot get up. We have to pick it up.
It ain't gonna be easy. Pick it up and we have to help it, brother.
But it ain't gonna be easy, guys. It ain't gonna be easy. And you can continue to face all type of opposition and people are gonna continue to reject you and you're gonna be radioactive. But if you refuse to do that, you are denying the truth. Somebody help me bring. Hey,
if we deny the truth, also our children's lives are forfeit. In 2037, if we keep going on with this stupid bunch of GMO crap and vaccines, all of our children are projected to be autistic by 2037, which is ridiculous that we still go on with this.
It's in the food, and they're telling us it's okay. And I hope to have a guest later on this week going to talk to us about what's really going on in the pharmaceutical industry and the lies that we're being taught there in the drug industry. And somebody else, jump in here, man.
Oh, let me mention before the pharmaceuticals. You notice the big push now? They're trying to give them away because pharmaceuticals are going bye-bye. Pharmakia is going to be gone.
Hey, Coach, I'll give you a platform on that thing. You're talking about the pharmacy a few times. I'm going to bring somebody on. When you're reading the Word of God, it says in sorcerers, people think that that's witchcraft. That word sorcery is a Greek word where we get pharmakia from. Brother, we got the church loaded down with drugs, and they think it's okay because some doctor prescribes it to them, brother, and it's all mind-altering stuff.
It is right in the middle of the church, man. Right in the middle of the church. You understand how deep the deception is? You don't question anything in science, but you question everything about Christianity. And that little pill that you take in the morning, it only works by faith, baby. That's all that makes that thing work. You only some of them they call a panacea because it just convinces you it works. You look around and the real truth, everything that we see going on around us could be cured, handled simply by speaking the truth. But there isn't any truth. It's an opinion. You've got fair
the Bible says truth. His word is medicine. His word is medicine. It goes into the innermost depths. I don't deny doctors. Luke was a doctor, but brother, we run to the pharmacy, we run to the medicine cabinet before we run to our knees and fall in prayer and ask God to heal us.
That's where it is, brother. Our faith is in that medicine cabinet. Our faith is in that little pill. Our faith is in the schools. Our faith is in the universities. Our faith is in Madison Avenue. Our faith is in everything. Our faith is so invested in lies that it's almost impossible to extricate ourselves. But that's our job. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen, we'll have these videos posted there on our website. Jared always does a good job. You need to watch this one on Jason A. It's about, I don't know, it's long, 17 minutes, but it's pretty powerful, folks. We are living in unbelievable times, and only the truth is going to set us free. Paul said, do I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? God bless you. See you tomorrow.